Race Rowdy.
All right, welcome to the Race Rowdy podcast. I'm Nick Tressler.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we have our special guest today, Mr. Stan Ross and Chopper. Chopper, what's your last name?
Anderson.
Anderson. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So we had this kind of cross our desk, and I thought it'd be very interesting because at Race Rowdy, we are often at festivals. Kurt, of course, on stage playing them, and then me attending. A longtime festival patron, went to this one in Ohio called Country Concert for 15 years. Running right now, and then which is kind of like one of the closest ones to where I grew up in Pennsylvania. And so we're excited to have you guys here to talk about not just Country Stampede, which is a marquee festival you guys have that lives in the country space, but also about the entire company. One of the things that I, when I was reading, was talking about like the ticketing platform too, which I found to be super interesting because of all of the, you know, recent backlash about Ticketmaster. And I know one of the things when we talk to artists, they're like information about like not having some of their data, you know, so having like a platform that has better access to that and feels a little bit more equal on both sides for artists and, you know, of course, the partner for the ticketing. So thank you guys for being here.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. And it's funny you mentioned that about far as the backlash, because honestly, it was in June of 22 that I heard that Live Nation was going to have an all-time record year in 2023. And that's when I decided, well, hang on here. You know, let's think about this a little bit as far as a company.
Yeah.
And we actually owned a ticketing company, a platform, and we've owned it for, I guess it'll be 5 years here in September. And so I sat there and went to our board of directors, and I said, hang on, guys. I said, maybe we need to be looking into this. I mean, because Live Nation already knows that 2023 is going to be a record year. And we have a ticketing platform. I've been pretty blessed that I grew up in around the music business.
Yeah.
What do you say we give it a try? I mean, the difference is we could be very transparent. We don't you know, try to play any games and stuff like that. And so on October 22, when I approached the board, they said, let's do it. And so that's how this all started.
Yeah.
And I'm loving it.
I love that. And yeah. Ticketing is such an important part of festivals. I mean, of marketing in general, but having people get access to it. Like, if you think about the olden days, right? When I was younger, you would have to go to the record store, and that's where you could get your tickets. And if not, you'd have to go to the venue, and you have to physically get your tickets there. So I think the current generation is a little bit spoiled in how easy it is to get everything. But at the same time, just the amount of information that comes along with the purchase of a ticket, right? Things that like oftentimes artists won't have access to, or you know, they don't share in some of that information and data of like who their customers are and who's coming out. I mean, I think the festival world's probably a little different because you don't know who they're buying tickets for, but like on the artist side, you know, if they're the ones selling the tickets, it's a good time for them to possibly collect some new fans and put them on a mailing list, or you know, get to send them out when they have new merchandise or a new record. So is there anything that you guys have like built into it where it's like artist friendly or anything, just like what's your position is comparatively to like a Live Nation Ticketmaster? Yeah.
I think the transparency.
I mean,
you know, since day one, you know, they eventually passed a law to where, you know, all the fees and everything else have to be shown.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've been, you know, doing that since day one.
Yeah.
You know, let them know what it is, and it is what it is. And therefore there's no surprises. So it's a little more user-friendly.
Yeah.
The artists like that as well because they know that, you know, we're not doing something shady to their fans, you
right.
know, their base that that follows them. Mm-hmm. And so it's just sort of the transparency is really what we've been, you know, been practicing for, you know, since we've had the ticketing platform.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any artists that you have that have been like working with you, or I mean, of course, like your festivals and stuff that have been kind of like success stories?
You know, I mean, in regards to the ticketing platform, I think, you know, right now the way the rules are, we're all pretty equal.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty simplistic way to get in the business. I mean, you can get into it. There's associated fees and that you have to pay, and obviously the artists and stuff like that. So there's no real surprises there. Mm-hmm. You know, with getting the artist to sit there and help participate, you know, in regards to say, hey, go to the official ticketing, our ticketing platform, that's very, very helpful.
Yeah, makes sense.
And so that's what we will focus in on, and like, you know, please let them know that, you know, go to custom tickets for your tickets, your ticketing platform.
So if I can ask a layman question, are you guys selling tickets just for your events, or is it they can be other people can sell tickets? If I'm playing at a club in Nashville, I could have custom tickets.
Yeah, we're selling tickets from everything from what we're putting on, you know, the stuff that we're creating, but also to sporting events. So it truly is like some of the other ticketing platforms. You can get everything from, you know, buying tickets to the Kentucky Derby, to, you know, a concert, to a Broadway show, to a Vegas show, to a small club.
Cool.
Yeah, so
that's great.
It has it all listed.
And how does it, I know like that there's a lot of, you know, I play with Luke Combs, and so it's like whenever a new tour is announced, all the fans are trying to get tickets and trying to get them at the right price, at face value, and Luke and his management are so diligent about doing everything they can to make that happen. But of course, there's with a big tour like that, a big stadium tour, it's like there's bots and there's, you know, these evil people coming in. Do you guys have struggles with that as well? Or
we do, and we do it where we struggle with it is because, you know, we're trying to do it fairly for all, right? And so we don't have a bunch of backroom computers that are just immediately hitting whatever site that they're going to, you know, on sale for. Mm-hmm. We don't do that, so we've got, you know, what we've got is what we get, and then I think that's why it's important for our company to also be the ones that are creating the content, in other words, the festival or the concert or something like that.
Yeah,
and so that helps us, and then again, we can control that a little bit better too.
Cool.
Just sounds so complicated. I'm glad other people are doing it besides me. I don't
Absolutely. Yeah, it's such an interesting piece too. Again, like as a country music fan, like you don't think about that. You just think about what link do I have to go to get this ticket, right? But you do often think about it when those tickets are gone and you see them on another site for 10x the price, right? Yeah, that's right, when you're thinking about it.
Or when you get your digital ticket and they charge you a printing fee.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's I think that's an important part of the ecosystem. And it's good to know too that like not only do you guys have that for your music, but of course like all of these other events that you have as well. How long have you guys been working in like the production side of like live music?
So I guess I've dabbled in it for many, many years since I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And so when I mean dabbled, I've helped finance, I've helped, you know, make introductions, I've helped, you know, have some, my hands in a little bit of it for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of the matter is, though, I've technically only ran two companies, both for a little over 20 years. So I've never really got to do this full time. And that's where, you know, as I mentioned back in 22,
yeah,
you know, I was either stepping down or retiring and going to do this because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Or either the company had to let me do it within the company because I was going to head down that path. And of course, Chopper and his long background in the music side of things, you know, I'm sure he's been involved in it a lot longer than I.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, too?
I've been here since 75 and went to Belmont. Mm-hmm. Left there 2 years in and started playing, you know, got involved with Harold Bradley, who was a, he's on the A-Team session world, you know, played on Patsy Cline and all that. So he kind of took me under his wing, kind of took me, took a liking to me.
Yeah.
And so he really kind of got me started and playing, you know, with artists and
studios. What instrument do you play?
I'm a bass player.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I play with a bunch of people. You know, Johnny Rodriguez back in the day, you know, back in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, Dottie West. You know, I played with Reba for 10 years, you know, back in the 90s. And, you know, Dolly Parton.
Crazy.
You know, play some with Vince, and, you know. Just a bunch of them. Did a lot of studio stuff in the 80s, you know.
Awesome. And how did you guys connect?
Well,
interesting.
Indirectly through my brother and my father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father had the custom amps, the old tuck
no
and roll.
No shit.
Pleat and roll.
Okay. This is starting to make more sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because so, I saw the name and my brain was like, That's familiar, and I couldn't figure it out why. Okay, I'm caught up now. Yeah, go ahead. So, sorry to interrupt you.
No, no, it's good. So my dad, I'll often call him Bud, you know, he started the custom amplifiers in the early 60s. And so as a kid, I'm just, you know, he drug me around everywhere. So I'm going and meeting these artists and, you know, just thinking this is the coolest thing and going to concerts since I'm yay tall. And so that's why I love it as much as I do. I just finally like, I'm going to do this, you know.
I love that.
I've had my own record label and got out of it and, you know.
Smart.
Yeah. I got bought out. So it was I got out. It worked out well.
In the right way. Yeah.
But I've just dabbled in it enough to where enough of this. Let's go give it a good run.
Yeah. I love that. And I know we talked about, you know, your guys' marquee festival, Country Stampede, at least in the country space. Why don't you tell us about Country Stampede and maybe a little bit of the history, but then about, like, you know, kind of like what you guys have been doing recently also.
Yeah. So I'm not the true historian. I mean, you know, Country Stampede, I used to go to it when it was in Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah.
And so this is its 30th year in existence. Mm-hmm. The early days, they did it out in at a state park in Manhattan. They had everyone from Taylor Swift to Toby Keith to just all the big names. They were able to draw it. And they'd have probably, during that weekend, 150,000.
Dang.
So yeah. it was nice.
Big.
They, the Corps of Engineer, I guess they got a little concerned because of the levees and such, so they asked them to move it, and they moved it to Topeka, Kansas, and then from Topeka, Kansas, it got moved to Kansas City or Bonner Springs, Kansas. Now, where it's at now, it is an amphitheater, and so the camping element is not quite as large as it used to be.
Yeah,
and so we plan on bringing that back, which may mean that we have to do it at a different location, but. People would travel all 50 states, you know, all over the place coming in for the festival because it's 30 years. And we have great names. And I got to tell you a story real quick as last year.
Please. Yeah.
We had a scenario where Luke Bryan was our headliner. And you may recall he ended up getting sick.
Yeah.
And when he got sick and canceled, I think, a couple of his shows, you know, our ticket sales just dried up. And, you know, he assured everyone he was going to be able to make it. Well, as it got closer, it was apparent that he's not going to be able to. And I want to say within less than 48 hours, he called Eric Church. And Eric Church showed up and put on one of the most amazing acoustic, with one gal that joined me after a while, a singer. And I'm telling you what, it just won over everybody. Yeah. I mean, it was one of the best shows.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me watching that, being having this kind of money, you know, sunk into it and everything else, but just how the, what I want to say, at least the country genre and the country friendships that a lot of the artists have to cover for someone like that. I mean, not only did they cover, you know, for Luke, but they covered for Country Stampede. And it was an amazing show. And I called my wife, she was at that particular show. Called my wife the next day and I said, "What are you doing?" And said, "Well, you ain't gonna believe this." I said, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I'm listening to Eric Church." And I'm like, "This gal's not a country gal."
Yeah,
you know. But I mean, it was just amazing. And again, for me, I think that's why I love the country music and genre so much. It's just that they're true people that rally to help each other. And I go back to when you all had the flood here in Nashville, and Tim McGraw and his wife Faith put that concert on. You know, instead of going for a whole bunch of federal money and everything else, and everyone showed up. And I bought tickets and came in for it myself. And you know, it's just a unique industry. Great people.
I agree with that. So, and I think. That's one of the things, like you're talking about, the camaraderie that is in the genre of country is like nothing I've seen, you know? And I think a lot of that's on the back of like the songwriter community, you know, like it literally takes an army to get a song to be out and to get it to where it needs to be. whether that's in the co-writing room when they're coming up with it or getting it put out. So I feel like, I mean, I've never lived in another musical city, but I feel like the camaraderie here, it sounds like, is significantly, more
true friendships, honest-to-God friendships that are in this, genre.
And there's other places that are tight-knit too. Like, I have buddies that live in New York and they're in the jazz scene and they're tight-knit too, but there's a little more like, cutting, they would say, combativeness. And also with Nashville being somewhat still drivable, it's like it's easier to get together than it is in, like, if someone lives in Brooklyn and you live in the Bronx, it's like, screw that, not a chance. What I mean? Like,
So I got off track on Country Stampede there a little bit, as far as talking about it, just because I wanted to make sure that everyone knew what great guys both of them are, Luke and Eric, for doing that. And
yeah,
they saved us last year by working there, and I appreciate it, and I have not had the chance to tell them, so hopefully they're going to listen to your podcast.
Yeah. They always do.
That'll work out good. Now, Stampede's been around for 30 years. We're going to try to expand it to where right now the venue that we have holds 18,000. Mm-hmm. We quit selling tickets at 16,000, mm-hmm. Just because we do want that younger generation to come, throw down the blanket, up on the lawn, and enjoy themselves, not worried about getting stepped on. Mm-hmm. So we try to make it real friendly for, everyone that's there, including the artists themselves. I mean, by putting, portable ice cream machines have a snack so that they love it. The, all our guests that have paid money, I want them to feel like they got more than their money's worth.
Yeah.
And not to where it's so crowded to where it's, not enjoy it.
Sardines.
Yes, exactly. But anyways, we tend to continue to build on it, and not only build on it, start taking Country Stampede into different states and around the country, and not just do Kansas City.
Yeah. So I think that's a big market. We live pretty heavily in the festival world, like ourselves, and there's something about a festival that, as a fan, makes you fully engulfed in the experience. Camping's a part of it. If you can have camping, you become family with the people that you are just around for 4 days in a row, or 3 days in a row, however long you're there. You build a bond. Like, I always talk about this. The first year I went to a festival, I met a group of guys and girls, and then I went to their weddings. Yeah. You build lifelong friends from that shared experience. And in my opinion, as this world becomes more AI, you're every song that comes out, you're like, is that real or is it someone else? I feel like that intimate experience is very important. But for me, a festival is kind of an intimate experience, even though it is grandiose and it's big. Just the fact that you guys are all there for the same reason. You're all there because you love the same type of music. You're all there to share experience with your friends. And each other, people that you don't even know are friends yet. So I think, like, the festival world for me, I always love club shows because it's intimate and you feel like you're in it, right? Mm-hmm. If you're 10 people deep, it's still closer than you're ever going to get at another show. But for me, the festival kind of has the opposite side of that. The energy that you get from a crowd singing back all the words to an Eric Church song or a Luke Bryan song, there's nothing like that for me in terms of like filling my heart and just like making my energy up level up.
And I agree with you, and again, I guess that goes back to even not quite apples and apples, but like when Bud, my dad, would drag me around to all these different events and stuff like that, I started running into people that I knew from seeing them 3 months ago at a function and stuff like that. And so you started getting lifelong friends, that you keep in touch with, and then, hey, I'm going to such and such, in June. Won't you fly in and go with us? So it turns out to be like that.
But I love that.
Yeah, you're correct.
And also, like, at festivals, they're so great. It's so much fun. But it's like when you're all just stinking together, you're just like, hey, this weekend is cool if we all just stink and just drink during the day. Yes. And then everyone's like, we're pals.
Shared experience.
Yeah, you're not being judged anymore. It's a lot of fun.
No, and that's I always talk about this too, like, because my business partner Matt is from New York, and so literally the first time he ever tent camped was with me outside. Like, we kind of like did our own bootleg festival during COVID, where we had like artists come up from Nashville and play when you could be 30 people outside, but you couldn't, you know, have these major events. And then we went and camped like before, because this festival we go to, we actually tent camp. And I'm a little old to be tent camping now, but it's still, it's fun to do, you know, it makes you feel like you're in it and everybody's in it together. But there's something about it. It's a funny thing too. Our buddy Joe, who's from New York, lives in the city, doesn't have a car. He went last year with us for the first time to a festival, and he was like, this is the best weekend I've ever had.
Hell yeah.
You know, that there's just something magical about that experience. Yeah. And it's a way to get away from everything else. You know, the phone doesn't work great. There's too many people there. And, you know, you're with the people that you're with and you guys are all there. You're all excited about one act, or maybe one person's really excited about one act and gets you excited about it. It's just, there's nothing like it for me. And as I've like gotten a little older, it went from me being excited and trying to be front row. And now it's me watching the people that are in the front row and how excited they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do the same thing. I mean, I've got a group of people that are flying in from all over the country, and I say, get your tickets, get them in, you know, section two. Here's where, you know, Corey's at. Here's where Clark's at and everything else. And sort of they all know each other. And then that way you have your own little group.
Yeah.
Having a lot of fun.
I love that.
Especially if someone's got to make a beer run, like, hey, grab me one too. You know?
Yeah. 100%. That's such an interesting part of it too, is like, how accessible bathrooms are, how accessible beer is, like food, you know what I mean? The vendors that you guys have on site, like all of that impacts your experience.
Yeah,
you
the know? Food trucks and, you know, and all the different merch tents and stuff like that. Yeah, it just makes it a real nice weekend event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, logistics is like mind-boggling on some of these festivals and stuff like that. Like, we played Bonnaroo last year, and, you know, it's like, We got our set done, but then the rest of the weekend was rained out, you know, and it's like brutal.
Outdoor
like,
festivals are tough.
Yeah, it's hard, man. You know, with the amphitheater thing, it's great. You know, it's like you're sort of insulated from that, but I'm just like, how do they figure out all this? It's just so complicated to me. You know what I mean? But it's when it works, it's like, what a rush, you know, getting to play this huge crowd and everyone's just vibing. So awesome.
And we've seen it. You know, we had a scenario where we had a little bit of a rain since I've owned it. We've only owned it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We had one incident where we had a little bit of rain, and I thought, oh, man, this is going to suck. And then, and in short, you know, it was only probably an hour and 15 minutes, and then we were able to let everyone back in and stuff like that, and mainly because of the lightning.
Lightning, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but, I mean, I don't know that we lost a soul.
That's great.
You know, they just, they went back to their campers or whatever, or their tent or their car for a little bit. And, and, or they went to, you know, some of the food trucks that were still, you know, accessible. And so, it was great. I mean, again, there was something that you're not going to experience in a, what do you want to say? An arena.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and it's just part of the story of being at the festival.
I always say, like, and I mean, this is CMA Fest, so it's all around town. I'm like, during CMA Fest, it's going to pour down rain one of the days. Like, that's just how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of how festivals are, right? Like, every year's different, of course. I remember one festival we went to, and it was a 4-day festival, and it was rainy 3 of the 4 days. You know, it happens. But the shared experiences, like you say, like being stinky or being muddy, you know, like, that's all part of it. And at the end of the day, I can't tell you how many times I went to a festival. I'm like, ah, that was fun. I don't know if I'll do this next year. And then a week later, I'm like, I can't wait for next year. You know, like, once your feet dry out and you get the last bits of mud off of you.
Well, and that's where I'm at, too. I mean, I've been enjoying this so much. And again, I've had this passion, you know, all my life because of the way I was brought up. but now it's like, okay, I know we're going to do Country Stampede in Kansas in late June, and you know, where can we go in July, and you know, and then I've already started looking at, you know, stuff down in Arizona and Texas and stuff like that. So, I mean, why does it have to stop?
Yeah,
let's make it a year-round type of deal.
Yeah, you
know, in just different parts of the country.
And it's such a great brand too. I mean, Country Stampede, just the name, and honestly, the legacy of all, like you said, all of the amazing acts that you've had, and all the people that feel tied to it. It seems like one weekend a year isn't enough, you know, right. which is right. great. Right. But I love, as we were chatting before the podcast too, you talked about, you know, kind of using that same site for other festivals as well. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So essentially, the company is Custom Entertainment mm-hmm. with a K. And so while I guess, you know, probably have a big, love for the country side of things, there's so many other different genres that are out there, right?
Yeah.
And so the day after Country Stampede gets over, we're doing an EDM festival the very next day. And we've got a great lineup anchored by DJ Diesel.
Cool.
Shaq.
Of course.
Yeah.
So Shaq's going to be there. And some of the other bigger names, and I'll be honest, that's not sort of my genre by any means.
Yeah.
But, the kids like it, and so we're gonna put it on. So we're going to do a lot of different, we're going to do pop, we're going to do a lot of different, genres of music.
Yeah.
Many times over. Matter of fact, I got to fly back tonight because we're negotiating on a property that a gentleman owns a casino. And, they have a lot of additional grounds. And so as a mechanism to get people to come visit their casino, they want us to put on events.
Cool.
And so we'll look at doing that and maybe as many as 20 dates.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to do something. Yeah, so it could be a lot of fun.
Multi-genre, all kinds of different stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think that's a big part too. And like we've talked about, you're seeing college campuses have shows and you're seeing casinos, of course, like I've always had entertainment sure. inside, but imagine outside in the draw you could have, as opposed to 4,000 people in their little arena they have to 20,000 people outside possibilities. Yeah.
Have you been to the big event they have in Chicago? I think it's
Windy City Smokeout.
Yeah mm-hmm. And again, that's in a parking lot. That's just in a parking lot, and it's a blast.
Yeah. And I think Windy City Smokeout's cool too, and that's like one of the things that I love about it is it's like barbecue and it's craft beer and it's great country music. And now like Texas country and regular country are like kind of the same thing, but I feel like they have done that before. That was kind of the case, they meshed that Nashville world with the Texas world into one kind of festival. And if you think about barbecue is very well known in Texas and very well known in Nashville, so it's like kind of works out. But you're exactly right, you can kind of do it anywhere. As long as you have the people there, and then accessibility for either camping or hotels. Like in Chicago there's unlimited hotels, so you're fine. But that's one of the things that I love about festivals, like you said, is that camping. Because I think that's probably a big part of why not everyone left. They probably just went back to their camper or went back to their car by their tent and hung out, knowing they would probably be fine. And so where like if you were at an outdoor show that doesn't exist, a lot of those people might have gotten their cars and went home.
Right.
And
again, I sit there and we talk about the different genres, and you start talking about the difference, as far as barbecue or Country Stampede's lineup this year, I think is just exactly that. I mean, there's Nashville barbecue, there's Kansas barbecue, Texas barbecue, stuff like that. The lineup that we have with Treaty Oak and White Flores, and then you go to a Zach Top, and then you go to Rascal Flats. It's just that is a mix of all. You're going to get a taste of all different types of flavor.
Yep.
With this kind of country lineup.
And beer sales will be good for Treaty Oak because they throw them all in the air.
We need to sell ponchos.
Yeah. We've actually had those guys on the podcast. They're great.
All those guys you mentioned.
Yeah, great. Absolutely. Yeah. But I think that's one of the cool things about country and where it's at right now is it is very vast, right? Like Treaty Oak, when I was growing up, would have been a rock band for sure.
Absolutely.
And it is still kind of, but it lives in that crossover country space. It's an interesting time in country music because there's so much that is inside of the genre, but it's also helped make it as big as it is right now, where there are a lot of like festivals and a lot of people can get, significant amounts of work, because the genre is so popular and so big.
Yeah. I sit there and, for me, it was always, I really, really enjoyed, and I think our, my friendship with my father grew as we both became, you know, I became a young man, I guess, and started just talking about stories, you know, of general life and everything else. And I also enjoy talking to, like, Chopper, because he's mentioned, you know, a lot of country artists that, that he's played for, but he's a rocker. Don't lie. He is. He's a rocker, you know, and everything else. But it is what it is. So the stories, not only of going to festivals, but like you get to see, you know, talking to different artists and the stories that they've got, you know, from the other side of it. You know, I enjoy getting to talk to Chopper and some of the other artists and hear their perspective from that side of the rail, let's call it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's an impactful thing too, because, you know, you only see your point of view until someone else, specifically someone that you respect and care about, tells you another point of view. And then you're like, oh yeah, let's think about that. And then kind of gets you carving down a different path. That was one of the interesting things when you said you were wanting to bring him too, is it's like, cause I feel like the artist perspective when they hit a festival and the fan perspective are of course different, right? The band cares about how catering is, you know, and they care about, like, you know, how, what the bathrooms and shower situation looks like. And the fans are kind of on the other side. They're like, how are there porta-johns or is there actual, like, bathrooms, you know? And then what's the showers look like in the campsites, you know? So it's just both kind of like the opposite sides of it. And it's, I think the festivals that are done the best take care of both, right? They make an artist want to be like, oh, I absolutely would want to come back and play this again. Right. We were treated great. Everyone was great. And then the fan experience is the same way. Like, hey, we had everything we needed. Even if it does rain one day, like, I can't imagine not going back, you know?
Right.
So I think that's super cool.
And I agree with you on that. And again, like I said, we try to do the little extra things for the artist.
Yeah.
You know, that's the backstage, and so that they're and I think it's working because you actually see them walking around instead of just hanging out in their buses and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we bring in a portable, workout, you know, facility. That's and stuff.
Huge.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
And so we do that on top of making sure we have everything as far as the spread for them, as far as the food is done really well.
Yeah. I think that's super important. And, like, one of the things that people don't think about until you think about it, you know, I remember, like, people talking to me about Guilford, New Hampshire, and there's, like, a little shed up in Guilford that just has the absolute best backstage experience. And
I can talk about Guilford for hours as someone, you know. It's like the show experience is great. You know, it's fine. You know, it's a shed and, it's good. You know, but when you're not playing is where it's at, because there's bikes and you can ride down to the lake and they have a cigar thing. And so after the show, it's like you can have a cigar and some whiskey. And now dope's legal. They probably got dope. And the catering is like, you know, oysters on the half shell and like lobster and stuff like that. And you're just like out in the woods and you feel like you're at summer camp and it's so much fun.
It's great.
Yeah. And there's a campfire. So after the show, everyone sits around the fire and smokes the cigars and they have a big chess set. And I always smoke everyone in chess, and it's really fun. So, but there's a lot of places that do that now. Bangor, Maine has like upped their game a lot to where it's like their catering's great, and they have all these little, they have like an ice thing where they pour like booze down it, and it has like the name of the thing, and so everyone's like, you know, after the show doing shots, luge, whatever, booze luge. So definitely, there's all different kinds of ways to do it. I think having a workout thing would be, I'd rather have that than dope any day. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I always get in a better headspace to play a show when I've been working out. You know what I mean?
Well, we try to sit there and do, you know, some little things too. Again, we're custom entertainment, so we have access to a lot of tickets, right?
Yeah.
And so we encourage the artists, well, won't you come in a day early and go to the Chiefs game with us?
Yeah.
Or stick around, you know, let's go to the, you know, the World Cup's coming to town. Stick around and go to the soccer match with us.
Yeah.
And do some things like that to make it fun for them too.
I love that too. And that's in my head, it's not only can you get great acts, but how do you get them so when they're there that they want to come back?
Right.
Right. So things like that are ways that you can also probably have bonding time with these people. Even if it's not the artists themselves, their camp. You know, you want every person that you can on your team to like come back there and be like, why wouldn't we want to work with them again?
Right.
So I love that.
And again, when you get to see a side of an artist before, you know, when they're not performing and everything else, and they get to, they put their guard down and everything else, and you get to really know them. That is extra special too.
Yeah.
So just like you were saying.
Oh yeah. I love that.
Is there a city that, or like general location that you guys are excited to, or have your sets on for expanding so far? Or?
So, well, yes and no. And I guess what I'm saying is there's regions mm-hmm. that we're trying to find the right locations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what we would like to do, because the routing is so important, you know, for the artists and stuff sure. like that. So I want to be able to set up, okay, here's where you're at Thursday. Here's where you're at Friday. Here's where you're at Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, type of deal.
Oh.
So you're.
So it's kind of like C2C, how like you play in Ireland and then you play in Scotland and then you play in London, you play in England. So you kind of want to have that thing where they just, it's like a whole weekend circuit kind of a thing.
Correct.
So cool. And if a fan really wants to, they can see Miranda Lambert Thursday, then drive to wherever she's playing Friday and then drive to where she's playing Saturday.
I tell you what, I mean, I know that we're the ones that are putting on, you know, the Country Stampede and everything else, but I was damn near going to follow Eric after he did. Performed there for us. I mean, I'm like, man, I'm going to go see him again. I'm like, you guys are running the show. I'm out of here.
You're preaching to the choir. Yeah. Pun intended here. Yeah.
So that was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So it's more regions, you know, and we'd like mm-hmm. to, you know, maybe do something, just call it the I-30-35 series, right? And
yeah.
So, you know, we do the Kansas City and then somewhere up and down that, you know. But then I definitely need to be thinking ahead, okay, where am I going to be at in, you know, possibly November, you know, maybe December, maybe we do a January show or something like that. I mean,
yeah,
you know, the music doesn't stop.
Right.
Right. And I know some artists go off the road, you know, they want to get in the studio and they want to write and stuff like that. That's their prerogative, but there's still a lot out there and there's still the hunger that we have to want to see music and hear music and be part of it. Mm-hmm. And my dad always sat there and said, you know, as long as it's been written, there's been music.
Yeah,
you know, and there always will be.
Wise so, man.
Yeah.
Well, I think Mexico would be a good place for you all to expand to in the December January months.
Yeah, we're looking.
Yeah.
Okay. Call me.
Okay. Absolutely.
I'll come down there and hang with you all.
Yeah. Anything else that you guys have that you're just really excited about, or anything else you want to touch on?
I mean, we're so early in. I know that Country Stampede's been around for 30 years, but mm-hmm. you know, with the new team, you know, that in leadership that Custom Entertainment has, and getting ready to do what we're getting ready to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are the first to really hear the story.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so we just plan on really expanding it
in
a much bigger, you know, setting. So let's say that we only get in this year, we're probably only going to get in maybe 10 dates, mm-hmm. okay? Come Stampede being 3, you know, the EDM being 1, so another 6 for this year. But I mean, we want to get up to where we're doing 50 and 100 a year, you know, throughout the country, in maybe outside the country.
Yeah.
So
love it. So. Well, I'm excited for you all and appreciate you guys sharing your story with us.
Yeah.
And I mean, the world can't be worse, you know, with more music in it. I agree. I think so.
No, I agree.
And it seems like you guys are really passionate about it, which I appreciate.
I think that's the key too, is, you know, people doing it for the right reason and doing it because you love it, you'll figure things out. It's going to rain sometimes, but the sunshine always comes after the
every rain. Storm rolled out rain.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for being here and kind of sharing the story of Custom. That was funny too, like when Kurt was like, oh.
Yeah, we'll talk after the pod. I want to play some of your dad's amps.
Yeah.
I know you got some at the house.
We got a few around.
Yeah.
But like we said, thanks for coming and sharing the story. And we can't wait to see and watch everything not only continue to succeed like Country Stampede, but all the stuff that you guys have come down the line.
Well, we can't wait to come back and tell you what we've accomplished.
Yes, hell yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you check out Country Stampede if you haven't checked out their lineup, as well as Custom Entertainment. We're super excited to hear everything you guys have going on, and cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Guys.